Welcome to Dual Wielding Episode 8. Am I correct in saying that?
I think so. I'm not the one supposed to be taking...
We called you literally 10 seconds ago. This is episode 8.
Oh, shit.
8.
Oh, fuck. No. 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 Oh, crap. All right, carry on. I just failed the challenge.
Well, as you can see, Daniel reached while we're recording this.
You're joined
this.
By 2.5 of us this afternoon.
So, if he randomly curses, it's not because he's so passionate about the discussion.
I'm turning it off now because I've failed the challenge and it means I'm starting the level again, so it's going off.
And, I guess Chad, who isn't cursing at video games right now, so both of you can say hello.
Hi.
Pylons.
I don't even know what that means, but,
You don't know what a pylon is?
What is it?
A pylon is, well, over here we have electric pylons and they carry wires with electricity in them.
Oh, then right. No, I did not know what that is.
They're big and they're shaped like A's. Well, they're kind of shaped like A's.
The more you know, I guess. we might as well just talk about Halo Reach since you just literally finished saying it.
Didn't we speak about it last week?
We never got that out, remember?
Oh, okay. I love it. I wish they made Halo 3 more serious like Halo Reach. The matchmaking at the minute sucks because I hate SWAT. And it's like firefighters laggy. And the space bit is awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure news came out this week or something came out that they're doing like a Team SWAT playlist.
They are, thank God. Because it's like you play Team Slayer and as soon as SWAT comes along, everybody votes for it.
I know, and the thing is, like, everybody I know hates SWAT.
Do you know the worst thing is you go, okay, I'll play Big Team Battle because nobody, like, that SWAT's not in that. And then everybody votes for snipers. So you think, oh, fuck, I'll go in multi-team. So you go in multi-team, and then SWAT comes up, and everybody votes for it. So now you've got 5 teams of 2 playing SWAT.
Oh,
I've renamed campaign mode to, thank fuck this isn't SWAT mode.
I kind of like SWAT.
Can I come over to your house, Chad, and murder you?
I think it's a nice break from the standard Halo action. It's cool just
of,
a little
Call
cool
of Halo. Call cool of Halo. That's what it is.
There's a ton of breaks from the normal Halo stuff. What about, say, a DMR? That's pretty much the same thing. And
yeah,
it's not
I
as
like
frustrating. Yeah,
if you want SWAT, get the hell off Halo and start playing Call of Duty.
Call of Duty sucks. I don't want
to
play Call
of Duty. But to be fair, SWAT does predate Call of Duty. I mean, because SWAT was in Halo 2.
Yeah, but Call of Duty started in 2003.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody really counts Call of Duty until Modern Warfare.
Well, they're idiots then.
Yeah, because Call of Duty 2 was the reason I got an Xbox.
I have Call of Duty 2. I've never beat it. That game, it's like that whole series has never fixed that problem with like the enemies who have pitch-perfect grenade aim and infinite ammo of that. And playing that on veterans is just like a drawing frustration.
Well, maybe you should just be less bad at video games.
I am less bad at video games, the good ones.
Stop blaming the designers, man.
Well, if are you saying there's no problem with grenades in any of the Call of Duty games?
I'm saying that you're just bad at the game because I refuse to admit there is anything bad about any game ever released.
So
overall I love Reach, but if you the biggest problem I have with Reach is I look at Reach and it's actually a fairly serious game. It has odd funny bits because that's just Bungie through and through, but on the whole it's a more serious game and they have a lot more. When you hear like people talking over the radio, it's a lot more a lot more immersive because it's a lot more realistic than it has been in the past. Because it sounds like it's just two people having a conversation in the past Halo games. Excluding Halo 1, because obviously it was just a group of ragtag marines trying to survive on a place they've never been to before, I think that Reach has kind of changed how I look at Halo 2 and Halo 3 and go, why didn't Bungie make these games more serious? Because I love Halo Reach because of its seriousness and its tone.
But I guess they could have got away with that because from the start of the game, you know it's like a mission you won't survive or it's not a mission you can succeed at or else the next three games in the series. Or
oh, yeah. But I still think that it seems very amateurish because you don't hear anyone use any proper military terminology, and it's just like, hey, get like the worst lines in Halo 3 is just even worse now. Like, get that robot to pick that lock. It's like, since when would Marines say something like that?
Well, I assume at that point they were just pretty...
There's, oh man, tech beats everything! I could do this all day!
I got nothing for you. I don't pay attention to the story.
It's not even the story. It's just the small things. And they... Yeah. Oh, hey, I just don't like Halo... Like, if I could just mute all of the Marines in Halo 3, it would be a much better game. Or if they could somehow go back and change all of the dialogue so it all sounds a lot more serious like it does in Halo Reach. Halo Reach has basically taken my impression of the other past Halo games and just ruined it because I don't like them anymore.
Well, they're just taking what they had before and evolving the series. I mean,
but this is the tone. I like this. It's not completely serious business, but it's more serious business than it has been, and I like that. And I just think that Halo 3 and Halo 2 are just silly.
Saying that, theoretically, every sequel should make you not want to play the ones that came before it anymore. Because
I don't think that's true.
It should do everything better.
Yeah, but when it came to the end of Reach, because it ends where Halo 1 starts, I wanted to go back and play Halo 1. But then I realized that if I go back and play Halo 1, I would want to play Halo 2 again, and the same with 2 to 3. And I can't play them because the tone is not the same. It's Bungie just kind of went all silly for Halo 2 and 3, and it went to a big space operatic thing. And I'm not a fan of that anymore, thanks to Reach.
I guess. One of my favorite bits, since you mentioned it, is apparently it's an Easter egg, but I thought you had to find it. It's like the Marine you find on, I think, the 6th mission, who's like covered in a corner.
Yeah, they do that they've done that in all of them except for 2, and I think that this is the first time they did it. Well, in fact, it was pretty... the way they did it in Halo 1 was okay, but Halo 3, it was just downright awful. The guy had an awful voice actor, and it was so cheesy, and I just thought that finally they've done something. This is the whole tone thing again, where it's a lot more believable.
Okay. I'm afraid to ask what Chad's been playing, but
StarCraft? That's all he's been tweeting about. Oh, I won this game. Oh, I'm going to end this tournament on Saturday.
I was a good cause, man. I was fragging the hell out of cancer. There's this, long story short, there's this tournament that was going on at our school called Frag for Cancer, which is just a big video game tournament, which is really against cancer, so I don't know why they call it Frag for Cancer. But weird English major musings aside, it was pretty cool. There was Smash Brothers tournaments, there was Halo Reach was there, Heroes of New Earth was there, which kind of felt like an odd choice to me.
Isn't that a dungeon crawler?
No, it's like I'm not 100% certain. I feel like it's in the same vein as Dota was.
Oh, right, okay. But it's still an odd choice.
Yeah. So there's that. And, it was a good time. There was hundreds of people there. Brawl was super popular. It was cool because they had the move set up there, and people were way into it.
I can see myself on Saturday because I'm going to Eurogamer Expo on Saturday. I can see myself liking move, which is not good because I missed a motion controls are complete bullshit.
Yeah, it was super weird. There was a giant crowd around that thing the whole day. That was interesting. I didn't foresee that happening. But yeah, so I've been playing a bunch of StarCraft all week kind of in preparation for that tournament, which didn't go as well as I could have hoped.
I suppose you will let you off this time, but you better have a good, damn good excuse for next week.
I played a bunch of, I did play some other stuff though. I played,
Were you top five?
I finished ninth.
Oh.
There's like 100 people in the tournament. And I beat a couple, one diamond dude.
Sounds like excuses to me.
And the game I lost, my hotkeys were reversed. It was lefty. Imagine you pick up a controller to play Halo, except for there's 26 buttons on it, and half the buttons don't do anything at all, and
or
then
in my
all
case,
of the buttons do something different than you expect them to do.
In my case, I pick up the controller and find out it's set to the default.
In Reach?
Yeah, in Reach, the default control scheme, because I hate the default control scheme.
I've gotten used to it, it's the only one I use.
Considering over the past 3 days, Reach is on the Halo 3 control scheme, which is what I got it set to, has been impossible to play because my LB button has been messed up, but I finally got it fixed.
My RB button jams sometimes, which just makes it annoying when you want
to... Today I pulled my controller apart and I had to glue a tiny bit of plastic to the thing that presses down on the button on the board of the controller, so now it works fine.
Well, I'm sure they're just breaking down so you can buy the new Xbox controller that comes out in a month and a half.
What do you mean in a month and a half? We get it in February.
Oh, okay. Well, some of us get it in a month and a half.
It's just Microsoft's new controllers. I picked up the Halo Reach controller the other day. Well, whenever I picked up Reach, so I guess it was like last week. I really like it. Like it's got a cool finish on it.
It looks cool, and they were doing a deal because I launched it. They were like, "While you're here picking up the copy of the game, you could get money off a controller or a strategy guide." And I thought I would buy the controller because I need a new controller. But A, I've been through four controllers in the past years, so I've spent enough money on controllers, and I only had money for the game itself. So
yeah, it's definitely not like. I showed up and I was like, yes, Halo. I'm so into Halo. I need a Halo controller. But I needed another controller at the time, and the Halo one was the same price as a regular one. So I was like, all right.
Everybody I know who bought the Halo Reach controller only bought it because it was cheaper, and it was cheap over here because the stores were doing deals on them, and they needed a controller anyway. The only reason I was – I mean, this is my disclaimer. The only reason why I was midnight launching Reach is because I decided I may as well because I was going to be awake anyway.
Why have you gone through four controllers in the last year?
Because,
he gets angry.
So it seems.
Because, in this case, it was just the OE button, so I could fix it. But in other cases, it has been, you know when you push up on the thumbstick and let go, it centers itself.
It should.
It should center itself. It hasn't been, and I bought this a long time ago. I bought this indie game on Xbox Live, which actually runs tests on your controllers, so it shows you, using an X and Y axis, the position the sticks are in, and it tells you whether the buttons are working. And you would push it up. So if you take 0-0 as it being in the dead center, you would push it up, let it go, and it would be on, like, on the Y axis, it would be like 0.2. And at this time, because I remember when I bought this thing, I was playing Halo Wars, and when you tried to move the screen down, it was actually impossible because it was pushing up. So you can't actually fix the thumbsticks because that's part of the mechanism on the board. So
and that happened three times.
That happened three times, and nice. I bought two brand new controllers and one used.
Okay.
Microsoft just knocking it out of the park with quality hardware.
Well, that's just the thing is, in the past year is the only time I've had problems with their controllers. Otherwise, I love their controllers.
And I guess the other thing is, who still buys strategy guides?
Yeah, who does that, man?
You were about to confess that you own strategy guides? I assume you own one for StarCraft too.
Yeah, but StarCraft
is
different.
No, I don't own StarCraft.
StarCraft is like a science.
Exactly.
So
but
do
I don't
own
StarCraft
for?
Strategy guide because I don't know.
Yeah, but
I'm saying
I could probably forgive you for owning one. Because the internet
is my StarCraft strategy guide.
Yeah. Why would you buy a strategy guide when you've got GameFAQs.com?
But which strategy guides do you own?
I got one when Final Fantasy XIII came out. Cause
I'm
was
almost
like,
certain from what I hear you don't need a strategy guide to go in a straight line.
No, it was hardcover and it was limited edition and it was beautiful. So I was like, alright, this is mine.
I used to buy strategy guides just for reading material because I don't really read books. Nowadays I've been tempted to buy the Halo novels because I'm a Halo fanboy.
But you already faded. Isn't, like, I thought most of it dealt with the Fall of Reach. I mean, I know there's one specifically called the Fall of Reach.
One of them deals with the Fall of Reach, but obviously it's not what happens in Reach. One of them is First Strike, which is what I will probably be avoiding because all that does is retells Halo 1 and adds some stuff to it. There's Ghosts of Onyx, which details where Catherine Halsey is. At the time of Halo 3, and there's a couple of others. It's just backstory, really, and I like the backstory of Halo.
Fair enough. The only strategy guide I own is for Phantom Hourglass, and that's because it literally came free with my game, so I had no choice.
I'm not going to say no if it's free.
Yeah, I'm not going to, because I went to buy the game, and the lady's like, oh, pick up a strategy guide. It comes, I'm like, oh, okay. I don't think I've ever opened it, but I have it. That and I never beat the game because I kind of got frustrated with it. So
you never beat the game. I never got to the first temple.
Oh, well, you'll go back to that temple rather often. So
I got incredibly bored with it incredibly quick.
I think it would have been a better game without that central dungeon.
What else have I been playing other than Reach? I've been playing...
There were a bunch of demos that came out for Fall games.
So it's Enslaved. This is really interesting because it's kind of like the Xbox is Uncharted, just without guns. And I like the style, but I can see it getting very repetitive very quickly because the thing that kept me going with Uncharted was the chemistry between the characters, because I love the characters in Uncharted, and there isn't a lot in Enslaved, especially in the demo, because it's just you running around this ship or jumping around this ship that's blowing up. So, but it's basically a Uncharted game on the Xbox, which is, you know, it needs one.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I haven't played the Xbox version, and I'm. Don't want to get into too much, but I don't really care for the PS3 controller. It always feels so cheap and flimsy to me. And maybe it's the controller, maybe it's the game. I just didn't care much for the demo because I felt like my character just controlled really not like loosely. Like it was sometimes hard to get him in the direction.
No, that's not just you.
Okay, so I thought it was shit. And it's like, I mean, it's like Uncharted in the sense that, like, all the jumping's automated. Like, you can't make a wrong move as far as jumps go.
Yeah, that's the only thing, that's one thing I did notice about Uncharted, is the jumping, for a game that's, like, heavy on platforming, the jumping is a bit weird. I will pick up Enslaved if I see it for £20.
And my other thing is, I'm really getting sick of, like, games that have, like, muted or brown color schemes. Like, it's not unique anymore. It's never
you should
unique.
See Quantum Theory, man. If you want... Oh, God. So, I remember a lot... Because I played the demo the other day, because it was there. I thought I may as well play it. Because I was pissed off with SWAT on Reach. And I remember months and months ago seeing an article about Tecmo Koei saying, oh, it's not a Gears of War clone, we promise. Right? And that rang alarm bells, because when you need to defend your game for not being a clone of another game, it means that there's something incredibly similar. And to say Quantum Theory is a Gears of War clone doesn't do it justice, because Quantum Theory is a terrible Gears of War clone. It has this big, beefy guy who does nothing but crack one-liners and has a very deep, gravelly voice. It has the cover mechanics in some sort of black and brown and grey sort of environment, and all the enemies look the same, which is just exactly like Gears of War. But the cover mechanics are very, very clunky, and the shooting is really slow, and I don't know, it feels like you're trying to I can't even describe it. The shooting is very slow. Yeah. And the only thing it does to differentiate itself from Gears of War 2 is you have this woman with you, and normally she's just running around shooting. But when you press LB or RB, I forget which one it is, you can throw her at enemies, so like the more tougher ones, and she just does this fancy thing with her sword, and she rips them to shreds, and they die. And it doesn't even, like, I mean, I could probably forgive it for having subpar gameplay if it looked really good, and it doesn't even, it looks like a launch title.
Yeah, you see, one, I would never forgive a game for having subpar gameplay for anything.
No, there are some games, like, I'm trying to think of a game that looked really great, but I kind of, I'm probably going to ruffle a few feathers with people. Killzone Imagine 2, I kind of forgave the generic gameplay of Killzone 2 because it looked really damn good.
I think another game that's like that, I don't know if it's because it looks good or because of the physics engine, is I think The Force Unleashed, where a lot of people like it because you can toss people around.
Another one of those games that a lot of people kind of forgave because of its graphics was Crysis. Even though I don't forgive that game. It looks Quantum Theory, right? Here is the reasons why you should buy it. And I'm being sarcastic here. It looks like a launch title. It plays really clunkily, and it is just a straight-off rip-off of Gears of War.
And this is for PS3 and 360.
PS3 and 360. And they were like, it's just... And I'm not even surprised that it's exactly the same as Gears of War, because they had to, you know, months beforehand, they had to defend themselves for it being a Gears of War clone.
So, I mean, so far our demos are, we have an Uncharted clone and we have a Gears of War clone.
Yeah, but
How about an Oblivion clone? Because I got one of those. Oh. Yeah.
What, Fallout 3?
No, Gothic 4, Arcania.
I was going to play that and then I...
Don't.
Instead download it. No, I was going to download the demo, but I downloaded Enslaved and Quantum Theory instead.
I feel like you made the right choice there. I guess it's not a Oblivion clone so much as it's a Two Worlds clone, is how I would describe this game.
By the sounds of that, the Two Worlds was bad. And the one person I know who doesn't say games are bad and has like patience of a saint, he said that Two Worlds was bad.
Exactly. Yes. You're on the right track.
Okay.
It just doesn't look particularly good. The combat's really clunky. It's the menus, like, generally when you're playing an RPG, you spend a lot of time in the menus, and as such, they should be at least, like, decently navigatable. But just nothing about it was enjoyable for me through the entirety of the demo. Oh, and the lip syncing is totally broken.
Awesome. I don't get what's the point of having a terrible lip syncing if you get people to professionally voice act for you. Well, I'm assuming it has professional voice acting. Sometimes games have
There were voices in it. I mean...
Okay, so has anybody played a demo this week that sold them on a game?
The Serious Sam HD the Second Encounter account.
I
played the demo on a 360, right? And then I found out I had some money in my bank account.
So loaded up
Steam, and then Valve was like, hey, you can buy both Serious Sam HD games for £5. And I was like, yes!
But I don't think a Steam sale counts, because Steam sales are just evil.
I was planning on buying the second encounter anyway, because I loved Serious Sam back when it was released on the Xbox One, and I bought the first encounter on the Xbox, and, you know, I was always planning to buy the second encounter. So, although the demo sold me on the game, I was sold on the game back in 2004.
Okay. Anything else before we call this segment a wrap?
I played Dead Rising Case Zero.
How is that?
It was... It was better than the original Dead Rising. Anyone who played the original one will tell you that it's incredibly divisive. I mean, you kind of either like the way it handles things, or you really, really don't.
Chad? And,
yes?
I challenge you. In two sentences, give me a reason why I should pay $5 for a demo.
It's not a demo.
How long is it?
I've put probably 3 to 4 hours into it.
And you haven't beat it yet?
No, I have not. But that's because I started over a couple of times because I want to start over with my new rad level.
Oh, so it's still like the original where like you get a certain point in. Okay. Some of the mechanics seem really dated, and I understand what they're trying to go for, but it's more frustrating than anything, and I guess that's what you mean by the love it or hate it. Yeah, it's one of the reasons I never cared for the original, and I'm not really looking forward to the second one.
The problem is had they made the game, although I have said in the past I am not paying for a demo, and as all K-Zero is to me, is a demo, and you can say there's a trial, but the trial is a joke. It is literally, there is more cutscene than gameplay. I'm going to say this. If they kept the annoying timing mechanics, so I'm not buying it. The game is a linear sandbox game. It says you've got all these fancy weapons, and you can customize them, and you can go and put some silly outfit on, and you can do this, and you can do that. But if you want to actually finish the story, you can only kill the zombies that are in front of you while you're trying to get to it, because otherwise you will lose, and you will fail, and you will lose the story.
I was gonna say I thought it was kind of fun. I think I asked you this before and you said you would. Like, you wouldn't have any problem with it if Capcom had released it after Dead Rising 2 and called it a DLC.
Yeah, because that's what it is, effectively. It's a DLC, but what they did is they were like, oh no, but let's package it as a Xbox Live Arcade game and put it before. And, because they could have easily integrated K-Zero and K-West into the game. They could have easily been a part of the game. It may have even been part of the main game. They just cut it off and said, we'll sell it separately. I think the only good thing about it being separately and cheap is I've heard a couple of reports of people saying, I love K-Zero, but that's all the Dead Rising 2 that I wanted.
Exactly.
See, that might be a problem for Capcom now.
Yeah, but it's already broken records. So
yeah, I was about to say, it broke records, but if people
making,
are like...
Yeah, but they're making money off of something that could have easily been part of the main game in the first place.
Well, everybody's looking for ways to make money nowadays, and I guess we could cover that when we get to news in a second. So I say we can call this a wrap, but yes, anybody has anything else they've played this week?
Nope.
Okay. Let's see. Halo, StarCraft, K-Zero, Arcania, yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so we'll call it a wrap for what you've been playing, and we'll see you on the other side. Okay, so welcome back. Now we're going to take a look at I guess we can say big news of the week. I don't really think there was anything major that happened this week, but you never know. I guess the biggest piece of information is that Little Big Planet 2 has got delayed until January of 2011.
And Sony has no Christmas lineup except for Gran Turismo 5.
Whatever, and, dude. It's all about the move.
Yeah, I was about to say and move.
Yeah, but since
the move lineup
there are no
is,
games. Oh, Sports Champions.
And Champions, I was going to say the move lineup is nothing but old games as it is, so that's not really helping them for games that didn't really push the system in the first place. Like, there's only so much that Resident Evil 4, 5 Gold and Mag are going to do for your user base this Christmas.
Yeah. Little Big Planet 2, I've seen some stuff in Little Big Planet 2. It actually looks pretty damn good, but it all seems, well, this maybe just because it's beta, but the stuff that people have made seem to be rather limited. Even though what they have created for a build it, build whatever you want game is damn good.
You see, my problem with that has always been that at its core, I don't think Little Big Planet itself is a great game. It's like, you know, for for somebody like me who doesn't have the patience to sit there and create stuff, I know you're going to say you can download a bunch of stuff from other people, but like out of the gate, you don't get much in the way of a good game for me. That's why I never really was a fan of the original. And
that's always going to be the problem with a game that relies on user-generated content. If it's a game like Halo, which has the powerful user-generated content stuff and a really good game behind it, with like stuff that Bungie have made, that's fine. But because Little Big Planet is a fairly limited thing, where you can't say jump online on matchmaking and then play this map that this guy made. It's just about really being with your friends, and it's basically like a party game, but it's more than just a party game. It's on the same lines.
It's a, what is it, jack of all trades, master of none, where it's like a little of everything, but does nothing remarkably well. Like, I saw this morning that they have a turn-based system in there now.
Yeah.
So you can create, I guess, like mini RPGs in there.
The only thing that Little Big Planet does really well is the user-generated content stuff, and even then that requires people to be there making things. And it's fine if you... It's fine if you're this very creative person and you can just sit down and whack a level out, but if you're someone who doesn't have the patience nor the time nor the skill or the imagination to do something like that...
It's dependent on other people, and that's not always fun.
Our experience out of it, like Gary's Mod is the same thing. It's all about having the tools to create. It's all about you creating things for other people and not you... other people making things for you, really.
And then you have like the 50 people who all decide to remake Super Mario Brothers 1-1 in the game just to see that they can.
Yeah.
No comment from Mr. Chad.
Yeah, I don't know. I was super excited about Little Big Planet when it first came out just because of kind of what it offered as far as creativity goes. Like, I've seen crazy mods come out for all kinds of games that have way more complicated tool sets than this. So with something that's a little easier to deal with, I thought, like, we'll see some really cool stuff. That said, I don't know. It really passed me by. I played the beta, and I was like, this is cool, but also I have no real creativity. So it just really amounted to us getting drunk and making really dirty things, and that was about it.
That sounds like fun, though.
You can only do that for so much. Someone with creativity can be there for weeks, months, years, just making levels.
Yeah. Right. I guess the other thing is like, do they benefit it? I mean, like early it was the second big PS3 game this year. Bumping it into next year, it runs into like Killzone 3, SOCOM 4.
That's the problem is, is like what I think although the delay wasn't down to a crowded release schedule, it's now been delayed into a crowded release schedule, which could actually impact its performance. Because like, do I buy Little Big Planet 2 or do I buy Killzone 3? And I know which one I would rather pick up, and it's not Little Big Planet 2.
Oh, I thought you weren't a huge fan of Killzone.
This is the thing, is I don't have any creativity, so...
Oh, so you'd rather shoot things?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're boiling it down to its pure sensors.
Because you're going to have... Little Big Planet will take some time to gain the content, whereas Killzone 3, everything's already there.
Yeah. Do you think that this... I could be mistaken. I don't know if it already does, but do you think this today would also add move support? Or maybe even 3D.
It was already planned to have move support. Okay. I don't know about 3D. But,
I guess that's the other thing. With Sony rolling out 3D this year, what games have support for it? I know Gran Turismo, and I think the Side Collection.
Killzone 3 will be in 3D. I think Infamous 2 will be in 3D. Basically, all the PlayStation exclusives from now on will be in 3D.
With move support.
I don't think Gran Turismo will have move support. I know Infamous 2 will, but I don't think Grand Theft Auto might will.
I'm surprised. I thought it had, maybe I was, I could have swore somebody was saying they were thinking of implanting head track in with the camera.
Yeah, but that's just stupid.
But people want it, and I sometimes wonder if people know what they want.
Yeah, but the problem, exactly, this is the thing, is this happens so many times to games. It's people say they want it, and then when they don't, like, this is why every game ever now has to have multiplayer in it, because people are like, oh, I'm not buying this game because it has no multiplayer in it, and when they put multiplayer in these games, they don't play it.
Yeah, I mean, it works sometimes. Like, Uncharted, I didn't think was a game that needed multiplayer, but I actually enjoyed a multiplayer mode in that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but Uncharted was, without the multiplayer, Uncharted is fairly limited, because you could easily put multiplayer into Uncharted, and what they've done is they got Bungie on board, and Bungie helped out with the cinema mode, which is basically theater from Halo.
Which is not something I've actually ever used in Uncharted.
Yeah, but it was designed for machinima making. Because do you know how powerful the machinima making tools in Uncharted are?
No, like I said, I've never used it.
So,
I didn't know about that at all.
I know it has it. I just never. Like,
they have a green screen map. They really concentrated on machinima, so they have a green screen map. They have, you can set your default character like emotion, so when they run really angrily. And here's the cool thing, is if you plug a headset in while you're doing these custom games in the machinima mode and you speak, the character's mouth will move.
What?
To kind of rehearse your lines in the game, and the character's mouth will move and the eyes will blink and stuff. And when you import the footage to your computer, and you can just record the lines again. So they didn't. This is the problem, is people say they want multiplayer, but because it's kind of a rush to get it in because people want it so bad, they end up doing a Bioshock 2 and not doing an Uncharted 2, which is actually concentrating on it and honing it.
Yeah, I forget. And there was some developer who once said that we can either focus on making a really good single-player mode or focus on a really good single-player mode or just attach multiplayer. And that's not what anybody wants, but everybody's, like, you know, PAX is always going on about, like, Call of Duty is still in everybody's thunder because it's, like, a multiplayer game that everybody's still playing a year after it's come out.
The thing is what they do is Uncharted, I think it was kind of natural for it to go into multiplayer because the multiplayer is really fun. And yeah, it's just an extension of the shooting mechanics, whereas Bioshock 2 was story-driven, as it's solely story-driven, because, the Bioshock 1 was all about the story, because the gameplay wasn't as great as some first-person shooters. But because it was concentrating on the story first, it really didn't translate well into multiplayer, because, that kind of situation, and with all the powers and stuff, doesn't translate well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think Uncharted is a fantastic multiplayer title. I think they just avoided, like, focusing on, like, the platforming. Like, there are stages that are built vertically, but usually it's, like, one or two layers. It's never, like, as detailed or as complex as the actual single-player game. So, I mean, sometimes I guess people try to take what's unique about the single-player game and just force it into a multiplayer. Another example of that would be Metroid Prime 2 Echoes, which...
But that was very weird because it was on the GameCube and nobody played the GameCube online, so online isn't be all an end or a multiplayer, but it is the majority of it. And,
well, not during that generation, really.
Metroid's not a first-person shooter. It's
The problem with it, is that it wasn't a shooter, and it's really weird to have a competitive multiplayer mode with a lock-on system, because it becomes whoever finds you first, and, like, in some shooters, you can pop, if somebody, you know, like, sneaks up on you from behind, you can probably get away from it and turn around fast enough if you're good. But, like, with Metroid, because the person's locked on and it's auto-aimed for the most part, you're pretty much screwed. And that was, like, something they didn't take away from the multiplayer aspect. So it's, like, it's a locked-on deathmatch where it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Speaking of online and multiplayer, PSN has been going up in the rankings of Google, and of course that means nothing.
What do you mean? That means that way more people are searching for PSN on Google than are searching for Xbox Live on Google. Thus, it must be more popular, better overall service option. Isn't that what that means?
Yeah. No, because people could be typing in, why is PSN always down? Why doesn't PSN have cross-game chat? It just, like, the worst thing is, you know, the articles are, PSN has been more popular on Google in the past week or so. And then they never don't explain what it means because they know it means nothing. They just want hits. And,
yeah.
Okay, I'm curious. Where did you see this?
I think.
What place
if you type
was it that thought this was newsworthy? I'm very curious about this.
Come on, Kotaku. Come on, Kotaku.
Destructoid.com. PlayStation Network is Google's fastest rising search.
Wow.
TechRadar.com.
Slow news day.
PSU.com.
It's like what is it? I don't know if, but like those articles that use Amazon to show how well Move was selling.
Computer and video games.com.
Like it's hard to say. It's hard to say just because something's moving up, it doesn't necessarily. It could be everything beneath that's moving down.
Yeah, it's not even that it's the highest. Like search or anything, it's just it's the search that has increased the most.
And again, it doesn't mean itself has increased. It just means that
it's like just
I assume Tiger
well.
Woods was a hot search at the start of the year, but now he probably isn't that high up.
As far as I can tell, it's just the UK as well. Yeah, it's just the UK. So it means absolutely nothing because people in the UK have been searching for Chloe Mafia and Great North Run and Nicole. I can't even say that. They haven't been typing a lot.
Maybe all of them were searching for the Castlevania demo that was released on PSN this week.
So number 716 in the fastest rising PSN search is Orange Email. So that's all people is searching Google to get to a specific website because they don't know the URL. So it means absolutely nothing.
I bet it's probably just people searching for where they can download a firmware update at.
There was a new firmware update this week.
I know. I was trying to watch Netflix, and then it was like, "Oh yeah, by the way, here's an update for you."
See, and you said we were making it up last week, where every time you go into that thing, there's a new update.
No, but that's also because I just got my internet hooked up in my dorm, so I've gone the last month without connecting online.
So you had like 15 updates to go through.
I only had the one.
The funniest thing is this update. Supposedly stops counterfeit controls working when what it's actually done is it stopped unofficial ones working, and Sony's explanation was, oh, they might explode.
What?
Yeah, you didn't
Seriously,
hear about that?
I heard that certain
controllers had stopped working. I didn't hear that they
Sony,
said it was because they
Sony
would explode.
Said, Sony yeah. were like, oh, we disabled them because they might explode.
Well, I don't want exploding controllers.
Like, hey,
thank you, Sony, for looking out for me, I guess.
Yeah, you don't want an exploding controller. The thing is, I haven't heard of anybody complaining about an exploding controller yet.
Exactly, because Sony patched it. They're looking out for you, brother.
Well, thank you, Sony. I'm happy. If I used your system, I would be afraid of it.
It's kind of like when Microsoft disabled third-party memory units, but this time Mad Cats, who had some of their controllers disabled, didn't sue Sony because there was like three models and they were all discontinued. But the point was, is they were like, oh yeah, they might explode. What?
I wish Microsoft would put out firmware updates to stop my 360 from exploding.
You mean, they should have done that years ago.
I got the red ring of death the other day, like a week ago. Luckily, I turned it back on and it was fine, but
it's gonna
it was
die
enough
again.
To rattle me. I was like, oh, Jesus.
I've had that happen to me. It's eventually going to die.
I know.
Here's a new story. Something good happening. Those unfortunate enough to have bought APB get a free copy of Mass Effect 2. And
that's awesome.
They get a choice because the EA stepped up to the plate and said, all right.
Did we actually talk about APB last week?
I think we said about how people who bought it were unfortunate or something.
Okay, because that was like the quickest turnaround. I mean,
yeah.
That game came out in
the
what,
game
June?
Started,
how
game,
long
the
did
game, 3 months?
How long did that Richard Garriott game last, because that was the previous quickest, wasn't it? What was it called? Tabula Rasa?
I
heard about that. I do not remember it, though.
Let me ask Wikipedia.
I know, that can shut down fast.
Did anybody ever ask Jeeves? Is he still around?
Man, Jeeves
is sick. No, they got
rid of Jeeves.
They got rid of Jeeves.
So it's just ask.com.
Ask.com.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
all the Butler community got up in arms.
No, it was released in November. It was released in November 2007, and it was closed on February
28, 2009. Oh, so that's it. That's a year and a half. That's better than APB, which hasn't even made it to 6 months.
Yeah, it was 3 months.
Take that,
Korean
rights.
The worst thing was is the company that developed it, Real Time Worlds, they were saying that they were going to keep the game alive, and then like 2 weeks later they said, oh, by the way, we're shutting down.
Yeah, I think because they got rid of a lot of their staff members.
The good news is EA have stepped up to the plate, and they went under. Oh, they went completely under. EA stepped up to the plate and said, you know, we done goofed, and you can have a free copy of Mass Effect 2, Dragon Age, Spore, The Saboteur, Burnout Paradise, The Ultimate Box, or Bad Company 2. And I think the EA could have just said, no, fuck you, you're screwed. But I think
if I had a choice between that, I would go with Burnout Paradise over Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, the thing was is, it's nice that EA are doing this because Real Time, some guy at Real Time World, I can't remember what position he held. He was like, "Oh, well, just go to your retailer and get a refund." Or what if they say no?
Yeah, most people won't give you a refund, especially if it's 2-3 months down the line and they know why you're sending it back.
Especially
it's not,
on PC games.
Yeah, it's not they could resell it.
Yeah, so it's nice that EA are doing something good.
Yeah.
They actually looked at what Valve were doing and saying, you know what, maybe let's be a good guy for once.
They could look at what Activision's doing and just be jerks. Is it just me, or is it every time Bobby how do you pronounce his name?
Bobby Kotick.
Kata? Every time he opens his mouth, it seems like he just wants to piss off gamers.
You mean like Michael Pachter?
Well, now you see, the difference, Pachter's making prediction. This guy's is just a jerk. Like, there was a thing about him wanting to charge for cutscenes in video games.
No, see, people don't understand that.
He wants to
as
a movie.
He's saying, yeah.
If people don't understand that. What you're making out is if, say, there's two cutscenes per level in Halo, them saying, you have to pay for the first cutscene, you play the level, you pay for the second cutscene. What he's talking about is
packaging them direct to video movie or something.
Yeah, so say for example you want the cutscenes and not the game, you pay like maybe $25.
You see, to me that's ass backwards. I don't want the cutscenes. Give me the game and I'm gonna
What if you're a very story heavy game, and you say for example you love the story but you can't stand the gameplay?
I would totally buy a Brutal Legend movie.
Yeah, because I hate the gameplay with that.
Yeah.
But I have a friend who actually did that with Metal Gear Solid 4, where he watched the game instead of actually playing it.
That game has gameplay in it?
I've been told. I have yet to find it.
I sat down and played that in front of a friend because they didn't want to play it. And I was like, well, if you're going to sit here, you might as well just play it. And he's like, no, I just want to watch you play it.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Whatever. Cutscenes are a very important part of that series, and not to
which
mention
is a problem with the series.
You know that's what you're getting into when you buy a Metal Gear Solid game. So,
which is why I don't buy them.
But what it would be good because there are some people out there that want the story and not the gameplay, and it could be
those people shouldn't be playing games. Watch a movie.
Well, no, because it may just be with certain games though. For example, you want this. You love Halo, right? But
I don't.
No, hypothetically.
I don't. Oh, go on.
Person A loves Halo, right? They really want to get into Halo Wars, but they can't play RTSs for crap, or they can't stand RTS games, even if they are watered down. So they pay 15.
People.
You know, they pay a subsidized fee, and they get just the story and cutscenes.
I mean, I guess it could work. Again, to me, it's more. Like, it defeats the purpose of being a game if you're just watching it.
Hey, even though I own the game, I would pay a small amount for the cutscenes in Bayonetta because they are awesome.
Is there not like a theater mode that opens up after you beat the game?
I don't know, I haven't beat the game yet.
That helps. Cause, I mean, because usually most games with cutscenes usually have them open up in like a theater mode or a gallery mode where you can watch them outside of the game.
Yeah, some of them don't, though.
And
I just think that everyone is misconstruing this. It's
okay, I think the concept is still the same. I mean, I knew he wasn't talking about like, charging you for cutscenes in the game. I don't know how you'd sell that one, but I mean, the idea is novel because I've actually always thought like some video game engines would make decent looking games. Like I would love to see a cartoon based on the Wind Waker engine, but
yeah.
I don't want to actually pay for cutscenes in a game. I have movies for that, and he wants to charge more than an actual movie.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, $25-$30. I mean, unless you pay that much for your movies.
They were also planning on making an Enslaved movie as well, hey? In, like, an Unreal Engine 3 movie?
Yeah. Now, if I'm not mistaken, did they not do something similar with that with Red Dead Redemption? Or was that live action?
That was a TV show.
Red Dead Redemption is a bad example because I love Red Dead Redemption. I actually quite like the story. And I was like, yeah, we could see this awesome machinima thing. And it turned out to just be the cutscenes glued together.
Yeah, that's what I mean, that's pretty much what you're going to pay for with this Activision.
But it was the cutscenes glued together. It's not like they looked like the cutscenes. They actually were cutscenes glued together.
Did they not include gameplay to kind of like take you from one point to another?
No,
because
it was just like you'd see a transition thing with John Marston on his horse.
Okay.
It was actually very, very disappointing.
Well, I guess that's one way to make more money. THQ is taking another route with this new – well, they're trying this new program with MX versus ATV or something where instead of charging you $60 for a new game and then charging you $10 for DLC packs, they're going to charge you like $30-$40 to get into the game and then sell you more DLC and modes.
I wish they would just like make $60 games that are actually worth the money like Halo Reach.
Well, you can't really expect every game to be a Halo Reach.
Bungie put a lot into the game.
You also have to realize that Bungie has that ability where I assume Halo Reach wasn't a cheap game to make and they had 3 years to do it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, though, is that what they think is the THQ are going about the problem wrong. They think that it's people don't want to pay $60 for a game. What it actually is people don't want to play for $60 games that don't give you value for money, which is a lot of them.
Well,
Bungie did and spend like $100 million on a game and then charge $60 for it. Or you could spend considerably less than that.
$40 for it.
What they're doing is they're cutting content. That is the problem, is they're cutting content and sticking it as DLC instead of just putting more content into the game in the first place.
Well, I mean, but people do that now as it is. It's not like, we've had this discussion before, I think, where there's this day of DLC for games, which means that it's stuff they could have included in the game, but they're saving for you to either buy now or like it comes out a month or two after the game.
Dead Rising 2. I would pay, although I don't really like the Dead Rising, the gameplay in Dead Rising, I would be more inclined to pay £40 for Dead Rising 2 with the two cases, Case Zero and Case West, included in the game, than buy the game and then pay for them separately at cheaper.
Personally, if the entry price for the game was cheaper and I got to pick it,
the entry price is a problem because everyone's complaining about used game sales when the entry price is why people buy used. It's because they can't.
But that's what THQ's doing. They're lowering the entry price.
You're going to end up paying for DLC, which wouldn't.
Yeah, which is true.
Anyway.
But they're doing it in such a way that let's use Halo Reach for an example. Like, neither one of us like SWAT or snipers. So let's say Bungie had released the game for $40, and then you got to pay $5 to get Team SWAT and Team Snipers. And if you didn't want it, it's $5 you saved off for the game.
Yeah, but
then you're splitting your user base so hard.
They do that. They're going to do that anyhow. They always do it with the map packs where, Halo 3 had, four map packs. After a while, you just segmented it where, teams say you could only be paid with Mythic and Legendary.
Yeah, but the way I see THQ is doing this, right, is, say, for example, this is really hypothetical because it's a really weird analogy, but THQ sell coat hangers, right? They sell wire coat hangers.
Yeah,
say,
they
for
do.
Example, say, for example, you bought coat hangers to hang coats because that's what they do. You
yes.
want to, you find some use for it. Unbend coat hanger and use it for something else, and THQ charge you for that. I would be pissed off. I would want the ability to do that without. It's a really bad analogy. I've just realized that.
I kind of got lost in your point. I mean, it's not that I necessarily disagree with you. I'm just saying that I think that if they're trying to find a way to lower the entry price for a person, like there are people who aren't online gamers. I mean, I know it's kind of weird for the three of us, but there are people, and there's a great majority, because I think the online rate for either PSN or Xbox Live is like 50%.
Yeah, generally speaking, I'd say 90% of my gaming is not online. I mean,
so
that changed recently with Blizzard's fucking cocaine, but other than that, like, most of my playing is done single player.
Okay, or a better example would be, I guess, BioShock 2. It's like if they charge you $40 for the game and then $10 for the multiplayer. Like, most of you didn't want the multiplayer game.
I just think that people should, they should concentrate on giving reasons to buy, like, cut the price maybe to $50, $45 and put more content, because games don't have a lot of content.
Yeah,
really.
But you see the problem with that is that this is what this generation has done, is that everybody's been trying to do the $60 games, and it's either shoehorning multiplayer or nickel and diming you with microtransactions.
That's the problem, is
DLC.
They're not putting enough effort into the things that they put in
You can't have a budget like Modern Warfare or the Halo.
Yeah, but what's Bioshock 2's excuse?
I didn't say Bioshock 2 had an excuse.
Yeah, but I'm saying that Bioshock 2 is an excuse of a game that would have money thrown at it because it's a Bioshock game. And they didn't put a lot of effort into the multiplayer. And, like, Red Dead Redemption, that game had money thrown at it. And, okay, it may have been more than Bioshock 2, but but they had a lot. They had player was well done, even though I don't particularly like it. The single player was well done, and they need to. I think that they just need to concentrate on giving us value for money instead of just saying we'll give you less content because their content may be crap. That content may be complete crap.
But and that's the thing. So not everybody's a AAA developer, and it's very difficult for you to compete at that level. And I think that's what we've been seeing this generation, is that you see a lot of people who go bankrupt because they can't compete at that level, but they try to. And it's like, you know, what we make this, like Capcom's an example of that, where they just keep on trying, but at some point they're gonna have to realize that they're just making bigger and bigger bombs, like Lost Planet 2. I'm almost certain Dead Rising 2 won't do that great.
Capcom is actually a very good example of this, whereas Capcom games Capcom don't really learn from their mistakes. So, for example, in Lost Planet 1, the shooting was very clunky, and a monster would hit you and you would get knocked down, and you'll get back up again, and the monster will hit you again, and you'll get knocked down again, and it'll just be an endless cycle. And everything was very slow.
And the next thing you know, you're in a Chumbawamba video, and everything gets crazy.
And Lost Planet 2 was the same thing.
Yeah, and
so Dead Rising 2 is very clunky. The combat is clunky. It's very slow.
And
it's just like this first one was. Okay, it may have better save system, but the combat, which is the main focus of the game, because you are killing zombies, is still clunky. Capcom don't learn. Learning what they can't do.
The thing with those games are that they're like, I think, Lost Planet 2 and Dead Rising have both sold, 2-3 million copies, and to Capcom, it's like, oh, you know, the fans enjoyed this, so we'll just kind of improve it how we think, and we won't change the core. I mean, this is the same company that's made, 10 Mega Man games, which are pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, but Mega Man is a different case entirely.
Because you enjoy it.
Mega Man is all about the mechanics of Mega Man are, they're fairly simple. So it's, you get because the game is punishing, it's designed to be punishing, whereas Lost Planet 2 and Dead Rising are very combat-focused, but they're not grounded.
I think they're designed to be punishing too, especially Dead Rising, since it works in a bunch of constraints. You have a time constraint, you have a health constraint, you have a save constraint.
Everything they do in Mega Man, because Mega Man's a fairly small game, because round it out, whereas they don't round out the features in and polish Dead Rising 2 and things like Lost Planet 2. So I think developers should put more polish on their games, because there are a lot of games out there that you can say aren't that well polished.
That's true.
More polish on their games.
At some point, they turn the switch and say, you know, it's done, we throw it out there. And especially with this...
The problem is time constraints and money constraints. If publishers gave up more money and they give more time, then people can polish games, and then people will buy games at $60, more games at $60.
But that's exactly what we're saying. You can take time and money to polish and make a AAA game, or you cannot do that and sell it for cheaper. And I don't feel like either of those is necessarily a bad decision. It just comes down to how much backing you have.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like, I'm assuming that there are games that have been in development 4, 5, 6 years, and they still end up being crap. So it's not like time and money is always the answer. You could pour more time and money and still not turn a profit on it.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't even know what the excuse for Final Fantasy 13 was.
But yeah, I mean, I think that was something that should have been done from the start of this generation, is that we need pricing schemes, because there are games that are worth $60. An example of a game that I think worth $20 is Matt Hazard Eat Dead, which is like a parody of other games, but it wasn't a really polished game, but it's a fun game. It's just not $60 fun.
Yeah, I think that developers needs to be a lot of things, the publishers even, they need to sit down and actually work all this stuff out, because they need higher polished games, they need to change the pricing structure of their games, they need to...
But that's what they're doing here, and you have a problem with that.
Yeah, but no, they need to do, what they're doing is they're doing one at a time.
Better games and cheaper games.
No, what I'm saying is they need to adjust the pricing structure, instead of saying, oh, this game's $60, this game's $60, this game's $60. They need to kind of somehow evaluate the content that's in the games and price it accordingly.
But that's what THQ is doing.
No, wait, which is what THQ is doing, right? And then they need to apply more polish to those games, which THQ may or may not be doing. We don't know, And they need to evaluate the DLC plan, which is what THQ is doing, right? And they also need to evaluate, you know, how this can affect the used game market. Because at the minute, you can't say that publishers aren't talking about used games, because they were like, oh, used games are bad, when they're not always bad.
They're always bad for them.
Yeah.
Well, they're not always bad for them.
When is it not bad for them?
When they start getting $10 every time you want to play multiplayer.
That's another thing is, a lot of games. There are games out there that don't need to hold their multiplayer to ransom to make money. Red Dead Redemption, Halo, whatever. Whereas I think this whole multiplayer pass thing is just going to end up hurting them in the long run.
Yeah, but you're talking about games that sold well anyhow. It's not, I mean. Yeah, I'm sure there's a used game market for Reach and RDR, but those sold well initially.
With the whole pricing structure, DLC structure, polish thing, is the one thing that they don't take into account, which THQ and all the publishers need to sort out, is release dates. This is the main thing, is I will buy a $60 game during the summer because I'll have nothing else to play.
But you see, I'm more likely to buy three $20 games if they're decent games. They don't have to be great games, because I know what I'm getting for $20. Whereas I'd be more apprehensive if it was a so-so game at $60.
If there's like four high-profile $60 games coming out, maybe let's say they are all Halo Reach type things where they have had a lot of polish, a lot of money thrown at them, they have good DLC plans, and they're worth the $60.
Yeah.
If there's three $60 games coming out in October, you're not you're going to pick one, maybe two. Whereas if they instead moved it so this $60 game was released in a summer, be it the summer before or the summer after, you would pick it up because there's no games coming out.
Well, that's not. I wouldn't necessarily buy a game because it's new and there's nothing else around it. I get what you're saying, that it would have the summer to itself because there's not much competition. But what I'm saying is that it doesn't have to be a high profile game. If you release, like, say, three games they were games that average like 75, 70s.
Although I've been rather inconsistent in this conversation, I'm now saying that the biggest fault that publishers have are release dates.
And I don't disagree with you.
That's
always been a problem with this industry, and
they need to take a look at the movie industry.
And I was going to say, the movie industry kind of has the same problem.
I don't think so, because I never see a particular time that's too crowded. Whereas
the summer's always crowded, and then you have what's to come out? I mean, there's been movies like The Town and Resident Evil, but those aren't the same type of high-profile movies you get during the summer. And then near the end of the year, you get those Oscar-quality movies, which don't usually do as well in the box office, but they're usually those high dramas, the emotional movies. So, I mean, for the most part, you have, May to, say the end of July, you have those, it's usually packed. You usually get, one or two big movies a week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The summer is fairly crowded for movies, but you also get a couple of maybe three.
They don't
high-profile movies at winter and in spring.
Let's not forget too that when you only have to drop $10 on an experience, it doesn't matter if they're a lot closer together because.
Well, I mean, it still might. I mean,
that's the thing, is they're spaced out more better than video games, and they're cheaper.
They are spaced out. Look at this year, November, the first week of November, there's Black Ops, there's GoldenEye, there's Bloodstone, there's Gran Turismo.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. There's a problem with that. And
they need to stop putting everything in Q4 on Q2. Q1.
Yeah, because what happens is everything in Q4 ends up getting pushed because they have these major games.
Because there are so many games I miss out on because I'm not going to buy anything in Q1 2011 because Portal 2 is coming out.
Yeah, and that's a problem that I think developers and publishers need to get behind, because it makes no sense for you to be a first person. We've talked about this before, Medal of Honor. It has no chance coming 3 weeks after Halo and then 3 weeks before Black Ops. It's kind of sandwiched in a place where that's not even true,
Since Medal of Honor is, you could say, a new IP, because it's not being developed by the old people who developed Medal of Honor, and they're completely rebooting it.
But the general consumer's not going to know anything about that, really. I mean,
yeah. I mean, sometimes I think we have that burden of knowledge where
that's
we know.
That's what I'm saying, is it's a new IP essentially, because
people know the Medal of Honor brand and they wouldn't necessarily care who developed it.
Considering Call of Duty has been on a roll for the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that Halo and Call of Duty are much bigger brands than Medal of Honor is right now. That's happened with a lot of games. And it's going to continue to happen.
THQ really need to stop talking about prices and DLC and need to start fixing their release dates.
What major holiday release does THQ have this year?
Exactly. They need to... That's the problem with THQ is they have the smaller games. So
which isn't a problem for THQ. I think they
is a problem because they're saying that it's not about the release dates, and they're saying it's about the pricing structure. When it's not about the pricing structure, it's about the release dates.
I think it's a little of both, because if there was a game that came out this week, but 2 weeks after,
I'm not going to buy a THQ game because THQ have a lot smaller games. I'm not going to buy the biggest thing from THQ was maybe Red Faction.
I think that technically the biggest thing is the SmackDown versus Raw games, but...
Well, okay, let's take a recent
example. I think bigger
UFC
and better are two different...
Red Dead Redemption, and nobody bought UFC because everybody bought Red Dead Redemption and THQ.
But that's not true. I think nobody bought UFC because they had UFC last year, and UFC isn't a game that really benefits from being a release.
No game benefits from being a yearly release.
Madden and stuff still continues.
Continued to do that because people continue to buy it. It doesn't mean the series benefits from it at all.
I'm not saying it, but I'm just saying. But, personally speaking, from THQ, I buy the wrestling games because I'm a fan. I'm not always a... But, I bought, they released The Blob, which is a great game. But it's, you know, it's like one of those games that would have benefited from a $30 price tag. They did Deji Creatures. They did Darksiders. So,
they're
sticking
their hands in their ears and they're going, blah, 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 pricing structure, blah, 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 pricing structure, when it's not just that.
It's not just that. I'm not saying, but the way you started off this argument,
that's
this
what I'm
has
saying.
Gone on
I'm
way
rather,
too long.
Rather inconsistent, but this is the way I'm saying now. It's about release dates.
And I don't think anybody's going to disagree with you on that one.
Anything else?
I disagree with you on that one.
Okay. And I guess since, you know, we might as well, I guess we can call it a wrap soon, but we might as well finish on this because it's kind of tied into that with all of these re-releases, these classic HD collections for the PS3.
I don't think too many people would buy a Medal of, not a Medal of Honor, a Mortal Kombat collection.
I'm really curious who that's market. Like, Prince of Persia is the same way to me. I have the Prince of Persia game.
Actually, I know plenty of people that would buy a Prince of Persia collection because, since the third one, there was three on the PS2, right?
Yeah, and
Since then, the Prince of Persia games have been just crap. And
what I meant is that what I meant was more really of the fact that they didn't sell that well the first time around, and now they're great games. I love the first one, it's particularly
because I remember the last one that was released. I can't remember what it's called. That was supposed to be
the Forgotten Sands.
The one that was supposed to be harkening back to the
more like the Forgotten Game because no one knew it came out.
Well, I think they knew it came out because it came out with the movie. It just wasn't that great of a game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the biggest thing I heard that was said good about that game was that it made people go back and play the other ones because they were so good.
And I like I said, I enjoyed the first and the third one. The second one's kind of iffy with the Dark Prince or whatever's chasing you. But I don't see it. I understand why they're doing it, but it's really, I guess to me, it's just like, I really don't know how much stock people put in graphics that you just put a shiny code and make it 720p and it's worth it for you.
Well, especially when they're not that old to begin with.
Like, I mean, what does that?
Yeah, but the Gears of War games aren't that old either. Not Gears of War, God of War games.
God of War, yeah, that's true.
The reason I excuse the God of War games is because I think that's kind of like when you have like a movie coming out and you have like you bundle the box set. And like, oh, if you want to catch up before God of War 3, check out these two games. There's no Prince of Persia game coming out.
Yeah, but we do realize that Ubisoft, I don't think anyone has, I'm the only one who seems to have noticed this, but Ubisoft is as good as Activision at yearly releases. So it's just easy money for Ubisoft.
Ubisoft is an awful company. They get one good idea and then they ruin it by the second game and they continue to do it.
That's what I'm saying is,
because I think most of these are Ubisoft games, because there's a Splinter Cell collection, there's Mortal Kombat, there's Prince of Persia, and there's like a few others.
Splinter Cell is another one. They released the first Splinter Cell. A year later, they had another one, and a year later, they had another one. So, you know, it's easy money for Ubisoft doing all these.
Am I mistaken? Are these only for Europe, or are they in the States as well?
I don't know whether they were tipped to be in the first place, but it doesn't matter, because if it comes out in one, it will probably end up selling. And Ubisoft were like, oh, we made money off this, so we're just going to localize it and make more.
Yeah, that's the problem. To me, this seems like people are trying to, they really weren't prepared for this generation to continue. Like, even looking forward, I mean, like, most of the big games announced are from the big people next year. Like, you have Nintendo games, you have games like Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
And stuff. You don't have, like, THQ, you don't have many EA games announced
the
next
problem
year.
Is, going, from now, there are quite a few PlayStation exclusives coming out because Sony knew that the generation was going to continue, but there aren't that many, say, third parties because the third parties are down to whatever the
Yeah, at this point there are very few franchises I think that aren't exhausted this generation. We've had three Halos, we're on our third Gears of War, two Uncharted. Oh, I guess you count Wars.
Yeah.
Call of Duty at this point, I don't know how that, what are we on, the fifth one, sixth one?
Call of Duty, we're on the
seven.
Well, I meant this generation, it's
Black
two,
Ops
three,
number,
four,
Black
five,
Ops,
six.
Black Ops is number seven.
Yeah, but we
started
two.
Two, so there have been six.
And even then, they released Call of Duty Classic this generation as well.
Yeah.
And they're coming out with two next year.
This is why I want something new, and I can't wait for Bulletstorm.
Yeah, you see, the problem is I don't think the end of a generation is always the best time to introduce something new. Because you, I mean, I guess this is an end of a generation because everybody's saying that
technically we're starting a new one.
5, 10 years. And I assume that's not for you because you aren't getting either device.
Oh, no, because I'm going to get it for my PC because, you know, it's going to be so awesome on PC. There's going to be so many games for it.
I can't wait for that StarCraft patch.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Don't even don't think about sullying the quality of that game by adding in motion controls.
I don't even know if you, I guess.
Move would be pretty cool with it.
It's hard pressed to call Kinect motion controls, I guess, but.
As far as I'm concerned, Move was born for, RTS games.
As far as I'm concerned, Move was born for Sony not knowing what to do this generation.
Sony don't know what to do any generation.
I mean, the last two generations, they had third-party support with them. This generation, they just thrown anything to a wall and hoping something sticks.
This, like, last generation, Sony were like, do we do online? Do we not do online? No, let's just quickly get something together. And this time around, it was a little better, but they were like, so what are we going to do with this PlayStation 3 firmware? Oh, we're going to remove features, not add features.
But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting E3 next year because either everybody's going to have a bunch of games we've never heard of,
or it's going to be sequel hell again.
Yeah. Or worse yet, it's going to be motion hell. Because I could just see it being a bunch of, like, Move game, like, Sony games with Move capability or Kinect games. Or, I mean, I guess Wii doesn't count because anything on it's technically motion. So it's hard for us not to show a motion game for that system.
It won't be a, it won't be a all Kinect motion thing. Because there have got to be some games. There have got to be Valve will come and bring something out of the table. I don't care if it's Half-Life. They will bring something out of the table and I'm like, fuck you, it's not motion controls.
But, like, I mean, I guess, because Valve technically usually only releases one major game a year, right?
What are you talking about, one major game a year? They've released, like, 4 in the last 3 years.
What games?
There was Half-Life. In 2007, we had 3 games from them.
Yeah, but, I mean, they kind of bundled that together as one game.
In 2008, we had one game. In 2009, we had one game. Maybe in 2010, we didn't have one, but we got one at the beginning of 2011.
That's what I said. They release, like, one game a year.
And then by 2011, they must have done something on Half-Life 2 Episode 3.
Yeah,
no,
but
it's just Valve.
What I meant is that they already have Portal next year.
But what I'm saying is Valve is going to bring something out of the table because they supposedly say that they have 3 surprises for us in the next year. So Valve will come up with something, if not everything they come up with, will be, fuck you, this has no motion controls in it. I just rely on Valve, and that's not a very good thing to do.
No, because, again, they release one game a year.
Oh, anything else? Have we got anything else?
I think, even if we did, we kind of... I think this recording itself is like at an hour now. So we'll probably be just over that time. So I guess we shall see you folks next week.
Hopefully.
And I think Chad died when you insulted, when we motioned for StarCraft to have motion.
Best way to kill him.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around, like, what circle of hell that would take place in.
Well, it wouldn't be a circle of hell. It would be a circle of your finger. You just kind of circle the units on the screen.
Chad, it would be great.
Point them in the direction. It would be awesome. Think about it.
I don't want to.
Multi-million idea right there. I'm actually going to go pitch that to Microsoft right now.
Blizzards, you know what would be awesome? What would be awesome? If you put Move and Kinect in StarCraft, that would just make all of your fans happy. And
I would
like,
love to see that conversation between Bobby Kotick and the Activision guys, or the Blizzard guys. So, listen, you're putting Move Control in the next in StarCraft.
Actually,
and then they'd just be like, no, we're not. Go to hell, Bobby Kotick.
Does Activision have any motion control games, or am I not paying attention?
Does GoldenEye count?
They have the original motion control game, man. Tony Hawk Ride. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
So, and I guess Guitar Hero, but they don't have any...
They don't have motion cinema anymore.
They don't have anything for Kinect or Move, do they?
Oh, yeah. I just can't wait to see what they're going to crap out for them.
I'm surprised they didn't put it in, like, Black Ops or something. I guess Microsoft has deals, exclusive rights on motion controls for that series, too.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I think we ranted and raved enough. We talked about, like, 3 articles. So I will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Isn't it always at a different bat time, like every time?
Listen, we don't get an entertainment idea.
No, it's actually at the same bat time, and that bat time is whenever Earl can be asked to edit it.